For those who don't know, my name is Kyle Krumsick, and I'm the youth pastor here, as well as the admin here at the Anchor Church. And I'm so glad to be here with you this morning. And if this is your first time here joining our live stream through Facebook, or if you've been a part of Anchor for a long time, just want to say welcome. So glad that you guys are here. And I am honored to be able to be bringing you guys today's word, and I'm excited to jump into it. But before we do that, I just want to say a quick little prayer as we prepare our hearts and our minds to be able to receive God's word today through this worship service. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day that you have made. Thank you so much that we are able to come together even through the midst of COVID, and that we can hear your word. And I pray that you can be with me, Lord, as I speak, Lord, that it'll be your words reigning through and not mine. And that today someone, at least one person, can be influenced to grow closer to you or make that commitment of following you today. So we love you so much. Ask that you be here. Amen. So for the last month, I've actually been reading through the Gospel of Matthew. And if you've read through the Gospel of Matthew, you know that there's a lot of language revolving around the kingdom of heaven. And as I was reading through all this language and hearing about the kingdom of heaven, I began to have this question of, well, how do we enter the kingdom of heaven? And what does that look like? And do we have to say a certain prayer or live a certain way or do certain things as Christ followers to enter the kingdom of heaven? And what does that look like for people who don't believe? So that's the question that I want to answer today. And maybe you guys have had this question before, maybe not, but today that's the question that I want to answer. And to answer that, I want to dive into Matthew 22. And just giving you a little bit of a background and a context into this particular passage, and it's Matthew 22, 1 through 13. This is actually a parable, and it's a parable spoken by Jesus. And when Jesus speaks a parable, he's trying to get across one point. So when we read throughout the rest of this parable today, there's going to be a time where we're like, when you're probably going to wonder, well, why isn't he stopping here? This seems important. But we're going to keep moving forward because it doesn't have to do with the main point of what Jesus is trying to get to through this parable. And just giving you a little more context of where Jesus is at, who he's talking to, the tone of the conversation. So he's in the temple and he's talking to the religious leaders and the Pharisees. And what he's doing is he's actually talking to them about what it means and to enter the kingdom of heaven and the process of that. And they have one view and Jesus has another. And so he's trying to explain to them that the point of how to get into the kingdom of heaven. And so as we jump into the parable, it starts off with explaining that this king is trying to throw a banquet for his son. And what he does is he sends invitations out to those he wants to invite, and those he invite end up ignoring the invitation. And then it says that he sends the second invitation, and the first invitation is kind of like the announcement, hey, party's happening. But the second invitation is like, hey, the fattened calf is ready, the chicken's ready, the best wine's ready, the best whiskey's ready, like we're ready to party, I'm ready for you. I'm ready to enjoy your company, come, we're ready for you. And so he sends out the second invitation, and the people he invites, once again, they ignore it. It says that some go to their fields, some go to their business, and it says that some actually mistreat and end up killing one of his servants. And the king gets so angry at this, which is understandable, gets so angry at this and ends up going and killing the murderers and burning their city. And this is the part where I kind of gave us a warning about earlier. This seems like it's important, but we're gonna keep moving on because it doesn't have to do with the main point that Jesus is trying to get across to the Pharisees and the religious leaders, as well as answering our question today that we have of how do we get into the kingdom of heaven. So the rest of the parable continues in verse 8, and it says that he tells his servants, the banquet is ready, but those who I invited were not worthy enough to come. So he tells them what to do next, and he says, hey, go out into the streets, the street corners, and this is verse 9, and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants go out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, and it says they gathered the good as well as the bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Verse 11 tells us what happens next, and it says, but when the king, when the king came in to see his guest, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. And he says to the man, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? And the man was speechless. And what happens next is that the king told his attendants to tie him up hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And at this point, if you guys are anything like me, you're probably asking the question of, well, why did that just happen? What's the significance behind the wedding clothes? And they're obviously, they have to be significant because this guy just got thrown out of the party for not having it. And in order to understand that, we have to understand the context of culture and throwing a banquet in this particular time period. And as we mentioned before, part of the culture was sending out the two invitations of like, hey, party's happening on this date. The second one is, hey, we're ready for you to come. Banquet's happening. And when you accept this invitation and you get to the banquet, in order to enter into the banquet and stay at the banquet, you have to put on these banquet clothes that only the host gives away. So when you go to this party, you get free clothes, and to be able to stay at the party, you have to be wearing these clothes. And when a guest chooses not to wear those and still comes in, what it tells the host and what it's telling the king in this parable is that this person doesn't want to participate fully in the banquet. They don't think it matters that much. They don't want to fully participate is what it comes down to. And so this is why the king becomes angry. And he kicks out this man who wasn't wearing the wedding clothes. And at this point in the parable, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they know what Jesus is trying to say in regards to entering the kingdom of heaven. And what Jesus is trying to say is different from what they believe. And what they believe about entering the kingdom of heaven is that you enter the kingdom of heaven based upon how well you follow the law and your works. And the way I like to explain this is I actually call it the ladder compromise, the ladder complex. And I kind of stole this. I don't even know if that makes sense. But if you can imagine a ladder, we kind of had an image of that in the slides in the beginning. And a ladder that just kind of leads up to heaven at the top. It's where the do not stand is, and that's where God sits. And he sits there because he is so righteous and pure and holy, and we are all the way down at the bottom, and we are people who are full of sin and unrighteousness and unholy. And what these Pharisees and these religious leaders believe is that when they follow the law and they don't sin, what happens is they can move up this ladder. And what's wrong with this is there's two things that are wrong with this idea, but there's one that I agree with. Because the thing that I agree with is that they know that in order to be in the same presence of God, they have to be made righteous. So their idea is that when they follow the law, they become righteous. But the thing that they're missing, and I 100% agree with it, like that is true. In order to be in God's presence, we have to be made righteous because God is so holy and pure. Like I mentioned, anything unholy, impure, unrighteous can't be in the same, they can't coexist together. And I like to imagine it's light and darkness. If light is present, darkness cannot be present. But what they miss out and what they get wrong is the process. And this process of trying to get to where God is and being made righteous and following the law is eventually they're going to fail. Because all of us are sinners in need of a Savior, and that's every single person, whether we are believers or unbelievers, whether we're pastors or not pastors, every single person from every nation, every place around the world. If you've been created and you're human, you're going to sin. So what that means is they're never going to reach to this place of being with God. And the other part that they're missing out on is that they have this idea that they can reach this God level righteousness and holiness, which is like the righteousness needed to be on the level of God is so crazy and out of this world that we would never get close to that. And Jesus knows this, and he's trying to tell them through this parable about how it actually is. And as we break down this parable a little bit, from verses 8 down, we begin to connect things, and the banquet here is represents being able to be in the presence of God and being able to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the invitation here in the parable also represents the invitation that is that goes out to everyone. This invitation for every single person on earth to be able to come and to enter into this banquet that God provides. But just like in the story, when you accept this invitation and you come to the banquet, you're going to need to put on wedding clothes in order to stay and be a part of the wedding banquet. So just like the Pharisees and religious leaders, the thing that they got right was they needed to be made righteous to be able to be in God's presence. What Jesus is trying to tell them here with the banquet is that in order to stay in the banquet and participate in being in God's presence and having eternal life and being with Him in the kingdom of heaven, is that we also need to be made righteous. So we need to put on these garments of righteousness in order to stay at this banquet, which is the kingdom of heaven, being able to be in God's presence. So the question now is, okay, Kyle, I see where you're going with this, but where do we get these garments? Like, how do we become righteous? Like, who gives us that? Or what do we have to do to gain and put on these righteousness? And like, what does that even look like? And to answer that question, what I want to do is I want to turn to John chapter 3. And it's a very famous verse, so you probably know it, but it's John 3:16. And it says this, if I can actually get to it. There we go. And if you're a Christian, you probably know this verse. If you're not a Christian, you also probably know this verse because it is a popular verse and it has so much meaning to it. But it is, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but will have eternal life." Says, I'm going to read that one more time. "God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but will have eternal life." And I hope you're starting to see it. And if you're not, hopefully this next passage from John helps you tie this in and bring down what Jesus is trying to say to these Pharisees and these religious leaders about entering into the kingdom of heaven. And in John chapter 6, verses 22 through 40, we'll summarize it. But what happens is this is after Jesus feeds the 5,000. And what happens after He feeds the 5,000 is He sends His disciples across the lake, and He eventually crosses the lake later on that night. But the people who Jesus fed wake up and they look around for the person who just fed them and who just performed this miracle. They realize He's gone, and then they go and search for Him and they find Him. And when they find Him, Jesus kind of lays it out there for them and says, "Hey, like, you're coming to Me not because you believe in Me, but because you've been fed. You've had this miracle happen." And he's trying to get this point across to them of don't chase after, and his wordings are actually, don't chase after food that perishes, but chase after food that leads to eternal life. And then they ask Him, well, what must we do to do the works God requires? And they're asking the question that we're asking. They're asking, okay, well, eternal life, being able to be in God's presence, being able to enter the kingdom of heaven. How do we do that? How do we gain access to that? What do we have to do? And they immediately assume that it's a do thing. It's a works. And they ask, what are the works that God requires in order for us to do that? But Jesus tells them in verse 29, He says, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one that He sent." I'll say that again because it's tying everything in. "The work of God is this, to believe in the one that He sent." See, what he's saying here, and he's giving us our answer to our question of how do we enter the kingdom of heaven? What do we have to do? What does that look like? Jesus is saying here in John 3:16, as well as in John 6, telling these people who He's fed, is that it's about believing. When you believe in the one He sent, when you believe in Jesus, you are able to enter the kingdom of heaven. Through belief in Jesus, you are able to put on the clothing of righteousness in order to be at and stay at the banquet and be in God's presence. And that's the answer to our question. And some of you may be thinking, okay, Kyle, I get what you're saying. I get this parable of the banquet is being in God's presence and the kingdom of heaven. And in order to be there, we need to be made righteous because God is so righteous and holy, and belief in Jesus gets us that. Belief in Jesus gives us that the clothing of righteousness. Like, I understand that, I get that. But are you sure all it is believing? Like, I feel like there should be more to that. And maybe you're asking, well, what if I say I believe and then go on and live my life? Like, oh, I believe in Jesus, but I'm gonna live how I want to live, and I'm not gonna follow Him. what does that mean? Do I still get access to heaven? And my response to that was, I think you're thinking about it in the wrong way. And this is what I mean also when I say believe. And what I mean when I say believe is that when we believe in Jesus, we're believing in the fullness of him. We're believing in the life that he lived, the death that he died, in his life and his death and his resurrection and the promises that he promises us. And when we believe in Jesus with our whole heart, mind, and soul, when we believe in his life, we're believing in his teaching. We're believing in the purpose that he gives us when we follow him. The call to love others and love God, the call to go and make disciples, we're believing in the truth that he says about who we are to him, and that we are his loved and his beloved, and that he will never leave us or forsake us. When we believe his life, that's what we're believing. When we believe in Jesus and we're believing in his death, we're believing that as he was being nailed to the cross, so was our sin. So was my sin, so was your sin, so was the sin of the world, that Jesus paid the debt that each and every one of us deserved to pay, but he paid it for us. And when we believe in Jesus, we believe in his resurrection, and that in that resurrection we have this new life, that we're able to live with him with the absence of fear of death and the absence of and the ability to be free from sin, to live life to the fullest with Jesus. And when we believe in Jesus, we believe in the promise that he tells us that he will one day return and that we will spend eternity with him. When we believe in Jesus, we believe that we are living a life that where he is with us constantly. And when we believe in this way with our hearts, mind, soul, in the fullness of Christ, our actions change. This type of belief promotes action that represents how Christ has called us to live in this kingdom, living here on earth, even before we get to heaven. So I hope that answers that question of what if I just say it and then live my own way? Well, if you're doing that, you're going to be like the guy who's at the banquet, not wearing the wedding clothes, not putting on this righteousness to be able to stay in the kingdom of heaven. But when you believe, You believe in the fullness of Christ, that he died for us, that we're forgiven, that even though we are sinners, we're still able to be in his presence because he died for us, and through his death, we're able to be forgiven. Like, through that is us putting on the righteousness. And just as we do a quick recap today of this sermon, I just want to leave you guys with this, and hopefully this will help you remember what we talked about today. We've answered the question of how do we enter the kingdom of heaven? What does that look like? How do we enter into the kingdom of heaven? Is that we believe in Jesus with our heart, soul, mind, strength, body, everything that we are, and we believe in his life, death, resurrection, and promises. And when we do that, this belief will promote action and promote life change. So it's not just a believe and then go live and do whatever you want, but it's believe in Jesus and have your life changed by this belief. So we answered that question, and what I want to also help you guys leave with to remember today is that because you have been fully chosen, now it's time for you to fully choose. So fully chosen, fully choose. That's the phrase I want you guys to remember to help remember the sermon, is that because you've been fully chosen by God, which means that invitation is constantly going out. It's going out to each and every person. You've been chosen to be invited to this banquet. Now it's up to you. And it's up to you to choose to put on the clothes of righteousness by believing in Jesus, believing that you are worthy, believing that Christ desires you. And through that belief, continue to pursue him. But how we enter the kingdom of heaven is through belief in Jesus. And that's what I want to encourage you guys to do. If you already haven't done that, and I actually want to leave you guys with a question. And the question I want to leave you guys with as we wrap up here is, are you truly believing in the fullness of Christ? Are you believing in his life, death, his resurrection, what he provides for us, the forgiveness that we have in him, the freedom that we have in him, the love and the peace that he provides? And if you're not, how come? Is there something that's holding you back? Do you have questions? Do you have fears? Do you have doubts? Do you have worries which are holding you back from making that commitment to believe and accepting that invitation? And if you do, I want to encourage you this week to live into those. because I think, and I hope this brings some encouragement to those maybe who do have questions and concerns or doubts, is that when we have those and we live into them and we try to have those questions answered, like that is us seeking out, believing in Jesus. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. But when we have these fears and doubts and worries and we do nothing about them, it's almost like we're ignoring the invitation. So I encourage you this week, whether you're a believer or non-believer, if you feel like maybe you're in this place of, oh, maybe I did take off the wedding clothes or Christ's righteousness and I'm not believing fully, ask yourself why. And if you're new to faith, or you're on the fence about committing and following Jesus, and you're asked that same question of why not, live into that. And if you guys have any questions and concerns, or want prayer, or want to connect with us, and we have a team of people who want to pray and want to connect with you and want to help be there for you and answer those questions. So thank you guys so much for joining me today, and love you guys, and praying for you, and have a great day.